We'll talk about sex education from a couple of angles in both hours of the show today. Up first, sex assault prevention training. The state of Oregon now requires that training as part of the sex education curriculum. The requirement comes from a law passed by the legislature, Senate Bill 856. The Sexual Assault Response Team, SART, in Jackson County is ready to go with the education. As SART's name implies, it's already up to speed on sexual assault response and also provides training for sex assault avoidance. Two guests from SART with us in the studio. Susan Moen is SART's Executive Director. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And Kendra Lockery is the Prevention Coordinator and Trainer, working with the school systems already. Kendra, thanks for joining us on the Exchange today.
Thank you.
Susan, bring us back up to speed about SART and what it does.
Sexual Assault Response Team started out as a coordinating body. We work with law enforcement, district attorneys, social services groups, advocacy hospitals, and we provide acute response to sexual assault. We do. We run the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner Program in the hospitals for acute care after an assault. We do peer facilitated support groups, and then we coordinate case response among these various agencies. And then 5 or 6 years ago, after focusing on response, we decided we also wanted to start working on the prevention aspect of sexual assault.
And what has that extended to so far?
We started going into the schools, kind of tiptoed in the beginning, working in high schools, and at first just bringing awareness to the issue, how often it happens, how to find resources, how to report or find confidential people to talk to about. And then slowly we started working on what's called primary prevention, which is not just risk reduction. It's not just saying how to teach you to avoid being sexually assaulted, but looking at the causes of gender violence in our society and trying to work to change those cultural norms so that it is so gender violence becomes less supported by our culture.
So from the sounds of it, Kendra Lockery, you're already providing a lot of what the Senate Bill 856 requires already.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're in, we go kindergarten to eighth grade in the Central Point School District, and we are in the Ashland School District, Phoenix Talent, working on Eagle Point and Medford, and anyone else who will invite us in.
How different are the messages then for different age groups? I mean, you'd have to pitch a message about sexual assault prevention very differently to a kindergartner than you would to an eighth grader. So, I mean, where do you spend most of the time?
In those lower grades, you're saying? So in the lower grades, we're talking more about personal boundaries, respecting each other's personal space, recognizing when someone really wants to play with you and is really in a yes space. And then also recognizing when someone is sort of in that reluctant yes space, and that would be a signal to check in and say, are you sure? And, you know, also recognizing that it's so much more fun to play blocks with people who want to play blocks with you. And also recognizing, you know, threats that I was a kindergarten teacher for years, and if I had a dime for every time I heard, if you don't play with me, I won't be your friend, or, you know, if you don't do that, I won't be your friend. And so recognizing that that's actually a threat, and that, you know, it's sometimes we have to be okay with hearing no. And then as we go up in grades, we talk more about internet safety, how to, they know a lot about stranger danger already. So, you know, we sort of play on that in the internet space too.
How, what does the bill require, Senate Bill 856, that requires now sexual assault prevention training? I mean, and is it at all different from what you've been providing already through SART's school programs?
Well, the bill itself requires a lot. There's, it talks specifically, it's sort of focused on risk reduction, and it talks specifically about training students on how to disclose, who to disclose to, how to recognize sexual abuse. It also has a staff component, so it requires reporting teaching staff how to make mandatory reports, how to recognize abuse. And then there's also a parent component where it tries to engage parents in this prevention. So there's an awful lot. It also requires, it sets rules about how often you're supposed to be offer 4 separate sessions in every grade every year. So some of these things, I think, you can't just come into a school and say, okay, we're going to do four hours every year, every grade, boom, and start it. So we're really working with the comfort level of the schools and the parents to start introducing pieces. The other thing is that we don't want to just be going in and lecturing the kids, you know, every grade. So we're looking at how can we, for example, for sixth grade in Ashland Middle School, we bought a set of books that talk about bullying and bystander intervention. So tying that into classes that we then do in the health class with common themes and ideas about empathy and how to step forward when you see something and how to tell when other people when something is wrong. These are all integrated ideas. So it's not all just sort of a lecture-style presentation to the kids.
We're talking about sexual assault prevention training, which is now required under Oregon law with the folks from Sexual Assault Response Team, SART, in Jackson County. Susan Moen is the executive director. Kendra Lockery is the prevention coordinator and trains kids in schools. You can join us. Questions, comments, thoughts about the issue, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what are the mandates in terms of what ages get the sexual assault training, prevention training under SB 856?
It's kindergarten through 12th grade, yes. Every grade, every year.
Every grade, every year. All right. So I can imagine there are a lot of districts that are not set up to offer this. I mean, it sounds like in Jackson County, you're pretty much all there is at this point. Is that right, Kendra?
Yeah. Yeah. We're it right now that's doing this prevention work and have been doing it. And so, yeah.
And we're working. There's a state sexual assault task force that has a prevention education committee. So we're working quite closely with other groups in other counties that are also providing this, because we really want to create a standardized conversation so that every county can talk with each other, steal ideas, create a sort of a unified message. And then the other thing is, over time, we also want to teach teachers and parents how to have these conversations themselves. Mm-hmm. We don't always want it to be just us coming in every grade, every year. These are messages and ideas that we can help educators learn how to be comfortable talking to kids about.
What got the process rolling on Senate Bill 856? Was it something that emerged from the legislature? Did it come from programs like SART saying this is a needed thing? I'm just curious to know what the genesis of the bill was.
It actually started as a national. So there are versions of Aaron's Law in most states. I don't remember exactly how many, but 30 or 40 states across the country have different versions. Some of them are voluntary. Some are mandatory like this. And I don't remember, Kendra, what was the name? There was a woman who sort of initiated this whole process.
Yeah, Erin Meyer is her name. And she was a woman who is an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And she put it together that had she had this information as a child, just basic, you know, good touch, bad touch, finding a trusted adult, understanding what's okay and not okay. And also the fact that more often than not, it's someone who you know who is the perpetrator of sexual assault or sexual abuse. So recognizing, you know, we can teach our children about stranger danger and how not to talk to strangers, but we also need them to recognize and understand that sometimes it is someone you know and someone you care about, someone close to your family. And so understanding how to trust your gut and find a trusted adult to talk to about it. So she put that together, recognized, you know, we teach all sorts of things. We talk about fire safety. There are kids in school now that are learning how to respond to a shooter on campus. And yet we still keep this conversation very low. And so it's just bringing awareness that we need to be talking about this the same way we do everything else, to give children an idea of what to do in case of a situation like this.
How do you then? I mean, that must be a tricky line to walk, to try to make sure that kids are as aware as they can be and yet not at the same time hypervigilant and looking for things that aren't there.
Yeah.
Some of the things is just normalizing the idea that we can talk about this. And in the very early grades, as Kendra was saying, you know, there what we're doing is we're exploring ideas of empathy or how it's okay to stand up when you feel something is wrong or you see something happening to somebody else that you know they don't like. So there are a lot of what we call, precursor ideas. We're not going into the early grades talking specifically about sexual assault. We're talking about having the right to say no to things that happen to your body or to your emotions. And then just slowly, I think when we go in, before we used to start in sixth grade and we would start with sexual harassment, and we realized kids are really hungry to have these conversations. They know about this stuff in all sorts of levels. And they're so used to parents saying, oh, we don't talk about that yet. Or, you know, those are secret things, or you know, don't say that out loud in public. We have to change that. The statistics are that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they are 18. Okay, it's a huge number of kids. And one of the biggest reasons we are not making a dent in those numbers yet is that the secrecy and silence, because it's an issue of sexual abuse and people don't want to talk about it. Kids will talk about it if you give them the chance and show them that we're not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. I am surprised, as we're talking about sex education in both hours of the show, as I mentioned at the top, but just to look and see that only about half the states mandate sex education in any form, although 37 states, as of the last count, do mandate some abstinence training,
right?
Even without the sex education training.
And I know that our current national administration is working on changing the abstinence-only ideas. You know, a large part of teaching kids about unhealthy sexual abuse is showing them what the alternative is, what is healthy relationships. And that doesn't have to be just about sex. It's also about emotional relationships. What is healthy? What is good? What is positive? So that they can recognize the opposite when they experience it.
Susan Mona is the executive director of the Sexual Assault Response Team, SART, in Jackson County. Kendra Lockery is prevention coordinator and trainer. We're talking about bringing sex assault prevention training to the schools. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Does SART contract with the schools? I mean, I'm just curious to know if there was any money, for example, attached to SB 856 that allowed the programs to be hired or trainers to be brought in, or whatever it is that the relationship is. And I'll ask you what the relationship is.
This bill is an unfunded mandate, so there is no money attached to it. We were incredibly fortunate to have local, both the Oregon Community Foundation, Meyer Memorial Trust, has funded us for several years now, along with other smaller foundations and donations from private citizens. So through at least the end of this year, we have funding from other sources to do this work. They are saying that on a national level, they will be providing some money. They hope that I think that schools can write grants for, but we are waiting to see.
Kendra, is the curriculum that you're offering now the curriculum that will be okay under Senate Bill 856, under the new law?
Yeah, this curriculum has been created before I came on, and so it all. When we were creating specifically the lower grades, we were using Senate Bill 856 and Aaron's Law recommendations along with state mandates around health, sexual health. And so really integrating all of that information into what we're doing so that we're accurate and age appropriate. And then again, we also talk with school districts, and maybe a school district isn't comfortable with us coming in and talking about good touch, bad touch, or private areas, you know, bathing suit areas, and body awareness. So that's when we come in and talk more about the boundaries and how to, you know, I was just thinking when Susan was talking, I use the example of tickling because I think it's such a great example of a thing that people just do to each other. And especially children, they can really relate to this idea of tickling. And this idea of recognizing that even though you're laughing and having fun, sometimes you're actually inside just miserable. So your body is responding one way, but you're actually having an internal, like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. And talking about how that's a body boundary there, you know. And so being able to just say, I don't want to be tickled, or you know, I really don't like being tickled. I mean, this is an example that we use, but I think it's one that ties really well because it's one of those things that everybody thinks is okay and kids just love tickling. But when I ask, who in here doesn't really like to be tickled? Most of the kids raise their hand. And so we have this great discussion about how to speak up ahead of time. And you don't have to be if you don't want to. You can say to Aunt May or whatever, you know, I really don't like being tickled. Please don't do that. And so then we talk about feeling statements and how to communicate and how to talk to people about that. And then what to do if after you've laid that boundary, I don't like to be tickled, somebody tickles you, how do you handle that? And so, you know, it's a conversation.
How is the class even prepped? I could just imagine if you said, well, we're going to learn about sexual assault prevention training today. You know, third graders on down would probably completely freak out. So, well, I mean, how is the subject first brought up?
I think the teachers introduce it as a safety lesson, and that's how I introduce it. I don't, in the earlier grades, I don't come in and say, we're sexual assault response team. You know, I say I'm Jackson County SART, and we help people who have been hurt by other people. That's basically what I say. That's enough information for the youngers. And then we talk about how, you know, we also help people learn how not to hurt one another. And so it's rarely brought up. I have had one student ask what SART meant, and it was in second or third grade. And so I went, SART means SART. Moving on, you know, because I didn't, in the moment, I didn't want to say that. I wanted to check in with the teachers first. I mean, we're very careful about that and very respectful of really talking and making sure the teachers are comfortable with what we're presenting. And they always are. You know, there's just, well, always is a big word, but most often are happy to have us in.
How much training for you before you can train kids? This probably has to be extensive for just moments like the one you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and I've worked with kids for years. I've been a kindergarten teacher. I've worked with every grade. And I've been doing violence prevention work for a long time. So, and just a lot of research, a lot of, you know, how to talk to kids about this. But again, I've worked with all grades, and I feel very comfortable with all of them. So.
We'll take a couple more minutes to talk about sexual assault prevention training, which is now part of the curriculum, the sex education curriculum in Oregon for ages, for grades K through 12. We're talking to Susan Moen and Kendra Lockery from SART, the Sexual Assault Response Team in Jackson County, and you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. How much does the training, particularly as you get into the older grades, get into intoxicants? Because it seems like that is so often a part of the picture when sexual assaults happen with late teens and young adults.
One of the things that we know about sexual assault is that perpetrators use alcohol to facilitate assaults. And that oftentimes when somebody has been sexually assaulted, when they've been under the influence, they are very unlikely to report it because they're fearing other people blaming them. And perpetrators know that. So we do a lot of discussion about alcohol, about drugs. But we are also trying to point out that these are often used to facilitate. They're used by the perpetrator. One of the easiest ways to commit a sexual assault is to get your possible victim to drink more than they intend to so that they're vulnerable. And they're also, after the fact, going to appear to society as being less credible. So we talk a lot about it in terms of risk reduction. How it can create vulnerability. But we also want to focus on the fact that sexual assault is a premeditated act that a perpetrator does intentionally. And it's a crime. And so we really explore why is it that we blame people for being assaulted when we should be blaming only the perpetrator. There's a huge amount of victim blaming in our culture. And that's one of the things that keeps victims silent. And if we're talking about prevention, we need to talk about also being able to hold perpetrators accountable. And we can't do that if the society is silencing victims.
We have an email here from Emily in Ashland who writes, I have a friend who always asks her kids before she touches them to make consent a normal expected thing in their household. I have started doing that too, and it's pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, wonderful. Yay! I'm celebrating. I'm doing a happy dance.
And is that a good procedure to go
Absolutely.
Through?
Absolutely. I think the earlier that you start these rituals with your children around consent, the better. Really getting them to understand that they are in charge of their bodies and they have body autonomy. And that goes all the way, and this might hurt some feelings, but that goes all the way to when relatives come over and want big hugs. If your child isn't ready to hug that relative, your conversation needs to be with the adult, not the child forcing them to hug grandma or whoever that person is. It's about saying, you know, I'm teaching my child about consent, or we respect her feelings or their feelings. And, you know, they'll warm up to you eventually. I had to do that with my own child, and she did. She warmed up to people eventually.
So not a great thing to do the whole give Uncle Eddie a kiss on the cheek.
Exactly, yeah. Because that just right there, especially if they're resistant to it or even if they aren't, what you want to, you know, hey, there's Uncle Eddie. You want to give him a kiss? And that way you're normalizing that idea of, hey, it's your choice.
At what age do kids ask the most questions or ask the most thought-provoking questions, or is that scattered pretty evenly throughout K through 12?
Gosh, that's a great question.
Yeah, we're seeing sixth grade. It's interesting. When we started going into sixth grade, we were not being as specific about things like sexual harassment and sexual assault. And then with the questions, so we would talk about sort of those precursor ideas, and then the questions would come back to us. What is rape? Why do people rape each other? You know, is this rape? Is that rape? So we realized that we need to be ready to answer the questions from the kids where they're at. And I'm thinking, I think sixth grade, they're definitely having those conversations. And I think fifth grade is where they're starting to realize, oh, we can actually ask these questions.
Yeah.
But they are less sort of specific, I think. Sixth grade seems to be the one where they're really hungry for the information. And I think that they're feeling that maybe adults aren't willing to talk to them about that. We have some amazing sixth grade teachers who are doing wonderful work on all of these issues in the classes. And so, you know, I that would be my guess is sixth grade, I think.
I agree. I think it's, you know, and they do. They really, I'm just going to say this because I have this platform right now. They really do know a lot more than I think adults give them credit for. And unless we're there to give them accurate information, they're going to try to figure it out on their own. And, you know, we have now the internet, which many of us are aware of. And it's really accessible on a lot of devices. And
do adults run behind kids for that reason?
Sometimes
in knowledge?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I think so. And recognizing, you know, there are apps coming out every day. There are apps that hide icon apps so that it looks like a camera, but it's actually a messaging app where people can talk to people all over, which is a great tool and also sometimes can make it easier for perpetrators.
So, Susan, do you figure that there's going to be a large expansion of what you're doing through SART with the sexual assault prevention training in schools, given the Oregon mandate?
Yeah, I believe so. We are here to help schools. We can come in and do these presentations, and then over time, we are also hoping to help train in schools themselves to provide this education themselves.
SART is the sexual assault response team in Jackson County. Susan Mullins, the executive director. Kendra Lockery is the prevention coordinator and trains kids in schools. Senate Bill 856, now in law in Oregon, requires sexual abuse prevention education for K-12 students.